This show furnished by Rowan, Gervy, and Wynn.
It's time for Gervy's Law, the intersection of law and life, with your host, injury compensation attorney, author, and mentor, Alan Gervy. Alan is managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan, Gervy, and Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm who have represented injured workers for over 35 years. Joined today by his co-host, radio personality, and television host, Carrie Kasem. Carrie brings a fresh, real perspective to the intersection of law and life, turning Murphy's Law upside down. And now, here are Alan Gervy and Carrie Kasem.
Good afternoon, Los Angeles, and everyone listening all over the world on KBC.com. I am Alan Gervy, the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan, Gervy, and Wynn. And today, as usual, I am here on this fine Sunday afternoon to be the managing partner of your life. And typically at this time, I introduce my co-host who also manages your life, but she can't hear me today.
No.
She can't manage your life.
No.
Because the first time in almost 6 years, she has no headphones on.
Lies. I've done it a couple times.
I am going to do sign language. You can't hear me. You don't have your headphones on.
I can hear you perfectly. Perfectly. And I've done this a few times when I have an event to go after, you know, after the show. I won't wear the headphones unless we get a caller. When we get a caller, I put my headphones on. And I put them on upside down so they don't ruin my hairstyle.
That's a hairstyle?
It's trying to be.
What the heck is it? You got someone growing on the top of your head.
God.
It's an animal.
Oh, if we put together and cut together every time you have, like... I talked about how bad I look on air, it would be the most hilarious reel ever. But then, just as many times as you put me down, you raise me up and tell me how beautiful I am. So it evens out.
It does even
it
out.
It evens out.
And I'm honest. I tell you when I love your hair. Yeah. I love your makeup. I love the work that you get done on your face.
Thank
like
you.
When you get your
my fillers and Botox
fillers
and lasers.
And Botox and all that stuff that you love doing. And I do tell you that. But today, I've just never been one to like... hair that has like a little bun,
a little
on the top
knot.
I have no idea what it is.
Well, my hair's dirty. I didn't want to do it, and so this is a style. I'm gonna go with
so
it.
So put
Alan.
The darn headphones on because you're not really wrecking anything. But you looked stunning, I must say, stunning on the red carpet at the Marie Westwood event.
We had a blast.
That was
we were
amazing.
A hit of the red carpet.
Yes,
and
we
all,
were.
This our radio show and the whole group we were with walking down the red carpet. I mean, it was pretty awesome. Not
it was.
Only once, but twice.
Yes.
And then we got on the other little rose red carpet, and we're asked to hold some kind of naked statue, which you and Nico did.
I did. I enjoyed it.
I have no idea why.
You know, the thing about it is there were so many losers there. That's why we shone.
You're terrible.
I mean, there was really no one of note, but you looked stunning.
What
you really
are you
did.
Talking about?
Your dress was amazing. My daughter Harper looked at the picture and said, "She's a princess."
Aww,
and
that's
I didn't
sweet.
Even prompt her on that. She just looked at you and said, "You're a princess."
That's very sweet.
Today, I'm not sure what you are. You look like one of those women from the Robert Palmer video.
Oh,
with
thank
the
you.
Eyes going
thank
back
you so
and
much.
Forth.
Thank you. I'm simply irresistible.
Okay. Well, I haven't seen you for a while. I was out of town.
Yeah.
I was in Muskoka, Canada at the cottage.
It looked amazing.
We had an incredible
time. And the kids water skiing.
Yeah.
That brought me back to when I was in Lake Arrowhead. The same thing. The little skis together coming out of the water. I mean, they were so adorable.
Yeah.
At 5 and 6 years old, water skiing on their own.
Yeah.
It was so cute.
It was really funny because Hudson was up for a long time. And at some point, he didn't know what to do because he wasn't falling down. So I was trying to get him. I said,
"Oh, just let go, let go, let go,
let go."
Yeah.
He just kept going.
Oh no! Did you have to stop the boat?
No. Actually, what happened was it was interesting. They had me holding the rope out instead of the rope being attached to the boat.
Oh, so you could let it go.
So I guess they anticipate that for little kids. And finally, I was just like, I've been waiting to do this to this little sucker. And I dropped the line and he went flying.
You're a horrible dad. Oh, my God.
It was great. He said, why
no,
did you do that,
you're
Dad?
A good dad. You're
and
a good dad.
I told him, I said, I didn't want your arms to get too sore. But anyway, yeah, we had a fantastic time. It's nice to be back in this country, the United States, although I really enjoyed Canada.
It's beautiful there.
And we enjoyed ourselves. Harper and Hudson had a great time. Our whole family, they're with their cousins, their grandmother, their uncles and aunts. So I can't ask for any more. And we had a beautiful spot on Lake Rossau. So,
yeah.
here I am. And, you know, it's kind of depressing coming back to work. I have to litigate this. This month is crazy. I have trial after trial because I was gone for so long. A lot of trials. And I'm a little bit down. I need some motivation. And I'm so thrilled that we have the show that we do today, because there's no one better that I'd rather be sitting across from than someone who really is, you know, just in meeting him before the show and talking to you, who you've known Tim Story for a long time, and he's just so calm. And I can see how he has such an impact on so many celebrities and common folk alike. It doesn't matter if you're a celebrity or if you have nothing. Tim Story is going to have an impact on you. And yes, he may have worked with Oprah and Steve Harvey and Kanye West and Charlton Heston and Robert Downey Jr., Charlie Sheen, Vidal Sassoon, and all of these people as a life coach, as an advisor, as a global pastor, as a motivational speaker, as a best-selling author. He's just a good guy. Tim Story, welcome to Gervie's Law.
What a privilege.
A privilege. See, I told you he's a good guy.
Yeah, where's the applause? Where's the applause?
Oh, he's all
wait,
on
what
it.
What happened?
You know, Tim, I've got to ask you. Excuse me, can you bring the applause down now? Tim, I have to ask you, you've accomplished so much starting out in Compton, California, and here, sitting here, speaking to 85,000 people at a time, having your ministries, speaking through social media. When you sit here now, what do you feel most proud of?
I think it's, you know, life gives us assignments. So my assignment coming out of seminary was to help inner city kids. So I love that assignment. I remember the first time when I was 20 and someone tried to give me $50 to speak. I gave it back. I'm like, you know, I'm doing this for free. So I think life gives us assignments. So I loved that assignment when I was 20, 21, 22. Then it began to evolve. There was a guy named Reggie White that you guys may have remembered.
Of course. Philadelphia Eagles?
Yes. He kind of discovered me. I was speaking in Tampa to some inner city kids, and he saw me speak. Someone had told him about me. And he decided to sponsor me and started taking me to NFL teams to speak in chapels. And it just exploded for me because a lot of athletes know entertainers, and it just took off. You know, I like to say this. Some things you decide, some things you discover. And a lot of my life is not just decisions, it's discovery. So I'm a little bit of a Forrest Gump.
But you loved sports growing up.
I did,
and that
yeah.
was something that you thought about. But at such a young, tender age, 18, you decided that you were going to take your life in a different direction. And, of course, you had a lot of tragedy in your life.
Yes.
And we want to talk about that just for a moment to see how you recovered from that, notwithstanding your love for sports, your love for, obviously, God and helping people. But talk about what happened to you, your father, passed away by a car accident.
Yes.
When you were 10 years old, and then your older sister as well was killed in a car accident.
You know, the thing is about life is all of us have had what I call life interruptions, where you're just minding your own business, you're going through life, and hopefully you have momentum. It could be you find you're diagnosed with lupus. It could be someone is molested. It could be in a car accident. So the case of the car accident is my father was just a very happy man, very good personality. We had five children, my mother and my father, and my mother was hungry. And she sent my father to go get food, you know, this before Uber Eats.
Much so, before.
So he calls a place to go get food at a restaurant. He's running a green light, going through a green light. A person runs a red light and ends his life. And the thing is, we were already in trouble. You know, my mother, she's Spanish, very broken English, sixth grade education. And my father had a 10th grade education, worked at a place called Bethlehem Steel. So when we started in Compton, we had seven people in a two-bedroom apartment. So that's how we started, cramped and crowded. So then to take the father out of the equation, you got potential for a lot of bad stuff.
Yeah.
But the neat thing that happened, whether you want to call it the universe or God or just serendipity, is that my school teachers, they cared about me. My sixth grade teacher knew about this, Mr. Probert, and man, he paid attention to me. He really monitored me, made sure I did well in school.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll never forget, I almost started crying. I was playing third base for my Little League baseball team, and Mr. Probert was not into sports. And I remember looking up in the stands and seeing Mr. Probert at my Little League game.
Wow.
Aww.
Is that something?
That's so sweet.
Yeah, he went above and beyond to take care of little Timmy Story.
Have you ever gone back to talk to him?
Yeah, it's kind of a cool story that I have continued to come back to him and be a good force in his life.
Wow.
Not just with big presents that I give.
Yeah.
But by just always lifting him up in my books, in my stories. But what an amazing thing. This was a single man. He was very to himself, kind of shy, Caucasian man. And I came from a whole different culture. For him to have a heart for me to the point of going to my Little League games, just say, hey, I'm present.
And there's so many teachers out there.
Yes.
That have done the same thing for individual students. The impact that teachers can mm-hmm. have on someone's life, turning your life around, helping you when you needed it, and look where you are today.
Yeah, and that's I think that's one thing, and I think that Carrie would say the same thing, is that I think many times, and you know this too from your profession, that we can get the accolades and people can look up to us for different things. But if it was not a series of mentors in my life, that there's no way that I would even be near what I'm doing today.
Right.
Because from the school teacher to the Little League coach to the high school basketball coach, I mean, it just kept going.
And we want to talk a little bit about your mother as well, because I know she's having an impact in your life. We have to take a break. If you want to talk to Tim Story, it's 800-222-5222, 800-222-5222. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Listening to Gervie's Law, giving you a new perspective to enrich your life. Now, here's your host, Alan Gervie.
All right. I feel like I just want to listen to music. But Tim's story is much more engaging than just listening to music. I'll tell you, this is an engaging conversation, and that's what we do here on Gervie's Law. He's a guy who, at his doctorate, Smokey Robinson, his friend, sang at his doctorate. That's amazing. He started a Hollywood Bible study in Diane Cannon's home in 1992, which has grown to probably over 2,000 people, including people like Robert Downey Jr. and Kanye West. And Carrie, you swear by Tim's story.
I do. I mean, I love the guy. I think he's amazing. And I've told you for years, like, we've got to get this guy on the show. Now, I thought he was already on your show. So I already thought you knew him today, which he wasn't.
We feel like we know each other.
Yeah, yes. But he's amazing. We've spoken at a couple different events together, and just I've gone to his events and we've, you know, kept in touch. And I'm just like, anybody, I will say, you've got to go listen. If it's once in your life, you've got to hear this man speak. And I was so fortunate because this year he spoke at the Kasem Cares conference and blew everyone away. It was amazing.
You know, when you talk about someone with really great values, when you blow people away, it's because it's coming from the heart. What you have to say hits a chord with so many people. You had a very difficult upbringing because you lost your father, as we talked about in the opening segment, to a car accident. And you had your mother. She worked at Winchell. She spoke broken English. Bessie, tell us how she has had an impact in your life and how you got to be where you are today, in part because of your mother.
Yeah, I think that the challenge of being Bessie, my mother's real name is Vesentita. So then she becomes Bessie to work within America, that she was a person that was very submitted to my father, and she didn't know how to drive. So he was the leader of the house. So then he dies instantly, right? So now she has to readjust. And there's a real strong word called resilience. And most people don't have it.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
To be resilient is to have the opportunity and the courage and the strength to bounce back. And what I find with most people that have any form of a setback, they don't know how to get back. Mm-hmm. They don't know how to bounce back. So my mother had resilience. She was able to fight through. But you got to look at her backstory. Her backstory is her parents died early. She moved on her own at age 13, truly at age 13, and talked herself into a job as a waitress at age 13 in New Mexico, around Albuquerque, New Mexico area. So she understood pain. She understood, I got to make a way where there was no way. And so she rallied up her five kids and said, this is just the way it's going to be. We're going to make it. And that is so powerful.
And yeah. That was put into your mind at an early age. We're going to make it. Because so many kids don't get that. We're not going to make it. Why are you such a fool? Why are you being so stupid? And you're telling me that when you were young, she had lost her husband. You lost your older sister to another car accident.
Yes.
We're going to make it.
We're going to make it. We don't know all the answers, but we are going to make it. We're going to be solid. We're going to come through. And, you know, it's an amazing thing that when you're that age, I believe what my mother said. Mm-hmm. And there's a thing that I've been saying for years. A promise brings hope and expectation. Like if you were to tell your two little children that I love.
Harper and Hudson.
If you were to tell them, hey, Harper and Hudson, next Saturday we're going to Disneyland. They would take you at your word because they believe their dad.
Right.
So when my mother said, we're going to make it, I bought into it. Wow. It brought hope and expectation. So there was never a question in my mind if I was going to make it or not. I'm talking never a question.
And I have to say that this goes such a long way. And if parents are listening now, my friends always say, well, how come you do this? And how do you do this? I just like to do a lot of things in life. I love to do everything. And I'm successful at a few of those things. A
lot of things.
Yes. And well, a few of them I'm successful at. A lot of them I can do well, but I wouldn't say like making money at them, right? But my friends said to me, why can you do all this? I said, because my father told me I could do anything. And he meant it. And he told me that constantly. He told me, get your education first and you can be or do anything. Now, my friend who said this to me said, my father, my mom always said, you can't do that. Let's get realistic. You can't do that. And she never did. She never tried because she believed them. So if you are a parent out there and you're telling your kid they can't. Because I'll tell you something. If you think you can or you think you can't, you're right.
Right.
Beautiful.
You know, I have to ask both of you because you're speaking with such positive, motivational, but then life happens.
Mm-hmm.
How do you stay away from drugs and violence and the things that are surrounding us that so many people succumb to, especially in your circumstances, Tim?
Yes. Okay. So as I said, you have momentum. Most kids have momentum. And then a life interruption can happen. And it comes in many forms and fashion. Now, some people sit in their setback. Some people settle in their setback. And I would say the majority of people, they settle in a setback and they begin to live in what I call the land of okay. And that could be my parents got divorced. So therefore, I'm going to settle in my setback. And that's my excuse, is that look what happened to my parents. So therefore, I'm going to settle in my setback. Or somebody gets older and they begin to have some failures in life, maybe addiction life, and they settle in their setback and they live in the land of okay. But there's a way out of that. You don't have to sit or settle. And I've been saying this for over 25 years. While you are feeling the sting of your setback, life is preparing your comeback. See, life is preparing your comeback. And it's going to come through conversations. It's going to come through observations. It's going to come through experiences. And so that's the awesome thing about our lives is that we, all of us, all three of us have been through stuff. So I say it this way, God will always deliver his deliverers. I am a deliverer of people.
And it can also come through reading a book.
100%.
A book, it's time for your comeback. Don't take a step back
yes.
with a setback. Tim Story wrote the book. He's written a number of books. And if you read his books, you can understand exactly what he's talking about. When you talk about comeback and beyond, how to turn your setbacks into comebacks.
Yes.
How did you come up with these ideas for these books that have been best-selling books?
Yes.
And they put into common language what people need to hear.
I think Carrie knows this about me because she's been around me enough that I am a very good listener. And part of that is I was raised by my three sisters and my mother, and I'm the youngest child. So when you're raised by older sisters that are much older than you and a mother, you learn to be a good listener if you're smart.
Right.
So I'm a very good listener. So I take in what people are feeling and the essence of what they're feeling. And so I begin to really listen a lot from an early age and can hear that people were going through something or some kind of trauma or some kind of challenge, right? So in my mind, I started thinking, okay, so if you have this setback, do you have to doggone sit in it? Is this your life? If this happened to you in 1979, do I have to be this way my whole doggone life? And I find out, no, you don't have to be. Because you can use, watch, your setback as a library and a sanctuary. See, if all of us look at our lives and the setbacks we've had, it gave us the chance to begin again more intelligently.
Mm-hmm. But you still need some motivation.
Yes, yes. But you need motivation. And to go with the motivation, you need alliance. See, you could be the right person with the right plan, but you better have the right people.
That's right.
And I remember you said, be careful who you partner with.
Yes.
And that meant a lot to me because now I have kids, and I know Carrie has often said this on the show, it's the people she surrounds herself with.
Yeah.
How do you be careful with who you partner with?
Okay, so let's say that with Carrie's life for a minute. You see, everything that she's doing with KSM Cares, changing people's lives, and that was such a privilege to play that role that I got to just a few months ago. If she told the wrong people about her vision, they may say, that vision's too big. Mm-hmm. That can't take place in Washington, D.C., because they don't have the same mindset as her. So when you choose your partners, choose them with similar mindsets and similar motives. So I'm not asking everybody for advice. What's your motive and what's your mindset?
You don't ask somebody who's never run a business how to create a business. You don't ask somebody who doesn't believe in your vision, you know, how do I do this? Because they're going to tell you can't. They're going to tell you no. You have to surround yourself with people who are already doing it. When somebody says, you know, if you're going to make an investment and you get all these, don't do that. You're going to lose your money. You're going to... What are they doing? Are they investing? Are they making money? You have to look at that. And so many times people will take advice from people who aren't doing it.
So good.
They're not doing it. And it makes me like, so much bad advice goes around from people who can't.
You know, and it reminds me.
Beautiful.
When you talk about this, when we had Ben Nempton on from The Buried Life.
Yes.
He said the same thing. Yes. And this is the guy that said, he wrote the book with his partners, 100 Things to Do Before You Die. And he did so many of them because he said, while everyone else was saying can't, we were doing it.
Yes.
We got to take a break. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Welcome back to Gervie's Law. Still thinking about what can go wrong? Instead, let's get excited about what can go right on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Love and happiness.
Yeah, let's get excited about what can go right. Nice bumper there. It's apropos for everything today as we talk to Tim Story, life strategist, global pastor, motivational speaker, life coach, best-selling author. I have to tell you, Carrie and Tim, I was just on vacation in Canada, and I saw my six-year-old son, Hudson, learning to play chess, and he sat with his grandmother and his uncle and his cousins playing chess. And I never played chess as a kid. I was kind of, I think, like Tim in the sense that I was into a lot of sports, played a lot of sports. Wish I would have played chess, but I didn't. And I saw his little mind working when he was making chess moves. Then I listened to Tim's story, and he says, you have to be a master chess player in your own mind.
Yes.
And that made sense to me because I was watching Hudson's mind, and now you're telling me that I have to be a master chess player. We all have to be a master chess player in our own minds. What do you mean by that?
Well, here's the deal, is that when you have a dilemma, the first thing that comes to people's minds is, I need to solve it now. So if there's a mountain in front of you, and we all face mountains, it could be a financial mountain, a mountain in a bad relationship, a mountain with your child in trouble, right? There's different ways around that mountain to get to the other side. One is you drill through the doggone mountain. One is you slowly climb over that mountain. Another is somehow you make your way around the mountain. Most people want to drill through the mountain. Most powerful men that I life coach, they want to drill through the doggone mountain, and they want to do it by 6 p.m.
Right.
Occam's razor. You want to go from A to B in the fastest, and that's how I am.
Yes.
But sometimes when playing the game of life, you have to play it a little smarter. And that's where chess comes in. It's a game. The better you play life, the better you're going to have, you know, the outcome. So it's true. I've had to learn to not just go right through the mountain sometimes and finesse it. I play bridge. So I'm like a big
yes.
bridge player, right? You got to finesse that. You got to sometimes play it a little different.
And anticipate what could happen. I mean,
that's
as
right.
a lawyer, we do it all the time.
Yes.
I fashion myself to be a pretty damn good trial lawyer.
Yes.
And I'm always thinking of the other side. I'm thinking of the
yes.
evidence, and I'm thinking ahead, the strategies. And you're saying, Tim, that we have to be doing that in our own personal lives, not just in our professional life.
Yes, but let's go back to Carrie's word, because that is a phenomenal word, finesse.
Mm-hmm.
There's not enough finesse that goes on today. Because, you know, back in the day when people were courting each other without texting each other through courting.
Right.
There was a little finesse that
there
went
had
on.
To be.
Yeah. You go to dinner, you chat, there's finesse.
Right.
There's maybe a second date, there's finesse, right?
Yeah.
In business deals, there's finesse. The greatest deals took a lot of finesse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a good friend of mine that you guys may have known too, who passed away, Bernie Brillstein.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was a master at finesse. I remember sitting at Spago's with him.
Yeah.
And the
His
way
favorite
he would do,
restaurant.
Yeah, the way he would do business. He would just finesse. He was a master bridge or chess player. So I learned from the older guys.
Yeah.
Right.
So again, the analogy or the idea of getting around that mountain, as Carrie's saying, people with strong personalities, like all three of us, the first thought is, drill through it, doggone it. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
No, but sometimes you gotta climb that sucker. And sometimes you gotta go around it.
That's very true. And, you know, it's interesting you bring up some older people who didn't have the social media in front of them, didn't have texting. They had to use finesse.
Yes.
Because they wouldn't have gotten where they were unless they could anticipate and be able to analyze situations. And I think what you're saying, Tim, is that there just isn't enough of that. And you can't, when you start drilling through it, you can only blame yourself. because you're not taking a step back. And that's what the beauty of you. You know, if people learn from your example and you talk about things, something so simple like punctuality,
yes,
something you learned from your mom.
Yes.
What time were you here at the show today?
I was here early. I was here an hour and 20 minutes early to where I went and found a restaurant and had soup.
I love that.
Because that's just the way it is. So anywhere I go, I'm always early. I'm always early. It's just the way it is, the way it's going to be. I never miss school. I've never called in sick for a speaking gig. I've never had a speaking gig where they said, we'll pay you a ton of money. And then someone else came and said, we'll pay you even more and drop the other one for the bigger one. Never.
And that's not just talk. There's something behind it.
Yes.
There's values. Values. You learned it in seminary school. You've learned it in your council of a lot of celebrities, of common people.
Yes.
Transcending talk. And you talk about what that means. It means values.
Yes.
You are not the calm person who has such an impact on people because you're late, because you're running around, because you're not considering other people's feelings, other people's emotions. You're a listener, not necessarily a talker, although you're known for talking. People don't get it.
Yeah.
That's so important.
I talk when I need to talk and I pick my spots. When you're with the big boys, as all of us have been raised in this town, if I was with a Charlton Heston, I remember back in the day when he used to call my house, we used to have answering machines. Mm-hmm. And I'll never forget, this was the funniest thing, because to hear this voice that said, Tim, it's Chuck, pick up the phone. I'm like, it's Moses.
That's funny.
So I lived a crazy life.
I hope you picked up the phone.
Yeah, I did. For a kid from Compton to be around like him and
Oprah,
Jack Lemmon and Mathau.
Oh, wow.
Tony Curtis. I used to eat dinner with Tony Curtis all the time.
And his wife, Jill, right?
Yes. Of course.
Yeah.
But, you know, Oprah's my girl. I'm in her new book. We're doing a new project together in September. I'm doing other new projects with her next year.
What was Super Soul Sunday show like?
Super Soul Sunday helped change my life. So there are times in life where life will open up what I call divine doors. And a divine door is sometimes something you didn't expect to happen. It's just like a moment that takes place where you just go, wow, something just hit my life. So, Carrie, what would that be in your life? Give me one divine door.
A divine door that opened for me?
It
like something
for you.
Good or bad?
No,
because I've had
good.
A few real bad
one.
And turned out to be like some of the most incredible things.
Give me a good one.
Okay, so... having enough courage to go to a radio station and pitch a show. I didn't know what I was doing. Pitch a show to the guy who ran it.
Okay.
And have enough courage to say, this is going to be a hit. And this is me. And he gives me the shot.
Okay. Well, there it is.
Just
right
enough
there.
Courage to be like, I'm just going to walk in and do this. And it started my entire radio career.
Okay. How about for you?
There's a lot of them, but I'll tell you, I've told this story before. When I went into NBC, I was a young lawyer. I hadn't even passed the bar yet. I had just finished law school, and I went in and I said, I'm going to work here. And the guy said, you can't work here. We don't have any jobs. Mm-hmm. I said, I'm not asking to get paid. I just said, I want to work here. He said, we don't have any places for you to sit in this office. I said, when I walked in, I saw a conference room back there. There's no one sitting in the conference room. I'll sit back there. He said, well, what about a computer? I said, I'll bring my own. He said, what do I have to lose? Go. When are you going to start? I said, right now.
Wow.
Divine door. And that divine door took you to places, faces, spaces that maybe you couldn't even imagine. And that's what happened with me with Oprah, is that Quincy Jones just kept telling her, you got to have Tim. Then Gail King jumped in. Then her producer, Diane Hudson, jumped in. And then Oprah finally said, yeah, okay, I'm going to do it. But when she held my book, Come Back and Beyond, I thought, it's over now. Because she held my book for 48 minutes.
Wow.
Wow.
And now I could pay bills for a long time.
Is that what started it all? Like the big, I know that you've been doing that way before and you had all these, but is that what started your big speaking career?
I would say that that in the realm of spirituality, I was rocking and rolling, okay? But in the realm of self-help guru, you just heard of Tony Robbins.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. And maybe a couple of sprinkling of guys. So when Oprah put her Oprah dust on me, wow.
Wow.
It blew me wide open to the world in that field.
And you talk about the ability to help so many more people. People yes. say, oh, Tim, you're just saying that because it's Oprah. And you're thinking, no, when that opens up my world, I can help so many more people because that's what I do. That's the God-given talent and what I was ordained to do.
Yes.
And it just opened the door.
And that's how I see it. I think, again, that life delivers its deliverers. So just quickly, I'll say this. I was in Las Vegas the other day, and an Uber driver was driving me. He kept looking at the rearview mirror, and he recognized me from Oprah.
Wow.
And he started telling me that he was going through a tough time, a setback. He said, can you help me? I helped him. That wow. makes it worth it to me.
That's amazing. That, you know, when I asked you at the beginning of the show, what are you proud of? I got to tell you, if I were you, a situation like that would make me proud.
Oh, that's what I love.
That's something else. We got to take another break. We only, unfortunately, have one more segment with Tim's story. You're listening to Gervie's Law. I'm Alan Gervie. She's Carrie Kasem. It's right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
You're listening to Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life on Talk Radio 790 KABC. You're gonna fly away, glad you're going my way.
I love it when we're cruising together. All right. Cruising together, that's what we're doing today with Tim Storier and Carrie Kasem. I got to tell you, Carrie, I've told you so many stories through the years. One of them that I didn't tell you. When I was younger, I actually used to be told a lot that I looked like Robert Downey Jr.
Are you serious?
Yeah, there were pictures taken and people would put us next to each other.
I can see that.
And I always felt I really wanted to be Robert Downey Jr. In fact, when I worked at NBC, one day I went to the dress room of Sarah Jessica Parker and I put a little note under her door saying, you know, I would like to take you miniature golfing or something like that. And I said, I don't know if you're involved or not, but apparently she was. And I was really jealous of Robert Downey Jr. until I found out through the years that he had a lot of problems, that he went through a lot. And now Tim Story comes on the show. And you have an incredible relationship with Robert Downey Jr. You've probably had such an impact that he thinks of you as you thought of Mr. Prober back then.
Well, I think that, you know, life can change somebody through observation and conversation. And the way I like to say it with Robert is that we have great conversations. And some of the conversations we had in the late 90s, he needed. Because he was in a setback. So we had conversations all the time that he went on to say that these conversations help change his life. That's the best way that I can say that.
Right.
And so what I love about this, though, is that I think that with anybody that has a huge setback that the world hears about, is that it's so easy to let that label define you. Okay. And Carrie knows this as well because she's been raised in this city that there are people that have big setbacks and then the city will say, you're labeled, you're done, you're only going so far. Magic Johnson had a similar situation
sure.
with what he went through yeah. with HIV. He could have just been, you're done. But you're never really done until God says you're done. That's how I look at it.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, series of conversations. But what I'm good at is helping people not to live in the land of okay. Because I find that most people that have huge setbacks then almost want to punish themselves and just live in the land of okay. So I work with many. If you see him on TMZ, most likely I'm working with him. And so I just
help. Carrie, would you agree with that?
He's working with me.
I help him. She's only been on there about 180 times.
How about Kanye West?
Well, he's a good friend. I mean, I'm family to Kanye. Kanye's like my little brother. I mean, I used to literally live in the studio with them. And Kim, I've known forever. Her dad, Robert Kardashian, was a great friend of mine forever. And so I think that anybody who's going through a setback, conversations can change your life. That's why it's so important to be a good listener. And a lot of these people that I'm talking about, you know, sure, they're celebrities, but that just means everything is going to be more amplified. But even if you are doing another job that's not entertainment, be a good listener.
When you talk about the Bible study in Diane Cannon's home that you started in 1992.
Yes.
And through the years, people like Kanye West and Robert Downey Jr. come out to get involved and more people get involved. Can they bring themselves to a level that you talk about to be a good listener? Are they learning? Are they really hungry to hear what you might have to say that would help them?
Yeah, I think one of the cool things about what was then called the Hollywood Bible Study, it's now called Tim Story Live, started in 92. Diane Cannon just said, hey, Tim, you want to do like a spiritual gathering at my house? She had an amazing house.
Yeah.
And had amazing people there that I won't even say, but it was pretty mind-blowing to me who was there. And the thing just doggone took off. But I think that I was smart enough not to make it too religious. And so I used to teach out of what we would call the Torah, the Old Testament, and the wisdom books, Ecclesiastes, Psalms, and Proverbs. And I found that people were coming from all walks of faith, from the Jewish faith, from Catholic faith, from all different
Muslim
faiths, Kabbalah, Muslim, Scientology, all types. And that's been my strength, of just being a person who teaches spiritual principles for everyday growth. And that's what's working for me.
And the congregation in Yorba Linda, is that more to the common folk versus something like the Hollywood Bible study?
The congregation is my give back. The congregation is like a boutique. Is that when you go around certain streets, like on Robertson, by the Ivy?
Yeah.
they have boutique shops.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
My thing that I do every Sunday is a boutique church that draws them all. Same. I got them from all the different denominations. People have never been to religious experiences. It's about 600 people. I only want it to get as big as maybe 1,000. That's all I want. I don't want like a mega something. I want a boutique thing. My mega is then I still get to speak to 30,000 at a time, 40,000, 50,000, 60,000. That's the mega. Mm. I love the boutique, man. I love the one-on-one. And
could you here on the show invite people to go to, for instance, the congregation?
Yes. So if you want to come to the congregation, it's very down to earth. We get so many visitors every Sunday. You just go to timstorey.com, STOREY.com, and people get blown away because they're like, this is church?
It's amazing, by the way. And Tim Story Live is incredible. It's for anybody. It could be any religion.
Yes.
It's just uplifting. It's motivational, inspirational. It's fantastic. So it doesn't matter what religion you are. If you want a motivational, inspirational message, it's there. It's there. You can believe in God as God or as the universe or as whatever you see God being. And you will get this message. You'll walk out of there uplifted. That's for sure.
And, you know, that's what's important when you talk about having an impact on people. If you can make people better people, we know in this world, unfortunately, there are a lot of bad people, a lot of people that have gone astray.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with two little kids, I'm thinking, how do I make these kids good human beings? And sometimes it's not that easy. When you have these kind of opportunities available to either the common folk or the celebrity,
yes,
regardless of religion, if you can have an impact on them to make them better people, ultimately that makes it a better
world.
It's
a must. It's essential. Mm-hmm. And I want to say about Carrie Kasem, I interviewed her at the last Tim Story Live, and she was just phenomenal. There's a message that I speak that I'll take 20 seconds and tell you about it. Sometimes you got to get left before you get right. And so Carrie knows that the type of messages that I speak are what people go through, because we've all been through left, but sometimes you got to go left before you get right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very
and
true.
I'll tell you, sometimes getting it right ain't that easy.
You're exactly right.
And a little help along the way, however arrogant, however pompous, however, you know, important we feel we are. Guess what? And I told you, Tim, off the air before we started, I asked you about a word. Do you remember? Because I know you listen. What was the word that I said?
You used a word that you
starts
must.
Starts with an I.
Yeah, it ends with a Y.
And then, Carrie, the word is?
Gosh, it was a negative word. That's
insecurity.
Why. Insecurity. Insecurity. That's why,
yes.
I'm like, it was a negative word. That's why I didn't remember it.
Yes.
And that's what you talk about. When you're talking about people who are thirsty for this.
Yes.
They're thirsty for it, regardless of how they present themselves on social media, on
good
Facebook,
point.
Yeah.
Instagram. They're thirsty to hear Tim's story. It's timstory.com, TimStorey.com. The books, there's several of them. Amazon.
Yes.
Amazon. Google Tim Story books. You'll find them. You'll see them. You'll be able to read them and understand if you have an opportunity to hear Tim. At one of the events, it's something that can be life-changing, and that's what he talks about. You talk about the events that change people's lives.
Yeah, and thank you for those compliments.
And, you know, I think that when we talk about compliments, I'm not here to compliment. I really am not. And I know from talking to you today and knowing Carrie for so many years, we're not about compliments. We're about having an impact
Ooh,
with people.
I like that better.
And that's something that can make you feel good. If you don't feel good about yourself, you're never going to be able to enjoy life.
But let's get one thing straight. I like compliments.
I
so
know you
can
do.
Both of you can just you keep it coming.
I don't like the thing that's on your hair.
I can make an impact and you can compliment me and I'll take it.
Well, you look great. A healthy mind lives in a healthy body. Have you heard that before?
I have, but I just want to tell you, as a voyeur today, I love watching both of you guys talk.
We love
you know
it.
That?
We love being here.
We get that from most people. It's
yeah,
the
this
weirdest
is amazing.
Thing.
We
yep.
got to close it up. Tim Story, thank you so much for being on Gervie's Law. It's been a pleasure. And we will see all of you next week right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
This show furnished by Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn.